Our opponents are very powerful, and workers are still weak in money and influence. But we have another kind of power that comes from the justice of our cause. So long as we are willing to sacrifice for that cause, so long as we persist in non-violence and work to spread the message of our struggle, the millions of people around the world will respond from their heart, will support our efforts, and in the end, we will overcome. And that quote comes from Cesar Chavez. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Now, folks, something that is very much missing in our world is a sense of justice. We have a legal system, we have a judicial system, but it really does not deliver justice to the people. In fact, it seems to do almost everything it can to circumvent justice and impose in the place of justice the will of politicians. We are, all of us in our countries, apparently bound by legislation. We're bound by this legislation because we believe the legislation is real. Very often we believe it benefits us. But really, when you step back and you take in the full spectrum of the situation that we're facing, you'll see that our legal system does exactly the opposite of what it claims to do. Our legal system is designed to literally remove the rights of the people and to basically curtail the human experience and turn it into something more resembling commerce than life. I've spoken about this very often on the show. But this really is an important issue, folks, because one of the most insidious things that this system does to humankind is turn the human experience into commerce, and one of the most effective ways that it does it is by selling sickness to the population. We have genetically modified food and food which is grown in a very industrialized manner, which creates sickness within the individual, and this in turn creates a dependency upon the pharmaceutical industry. And once they've got you into the pharmaceutical industry and they start feeding you these industrially made drugs, then what they're basically feeding you is sickness in many, many forms, because you'll find that all of the drugs you take have side effects which cause ailments within the body, which gives you the need for new drugs. And so once they've got you into that circle, then it just becomes a vicious spiral downward, and you are used as a means of profit for the pharmaceutical industry. And also, very often, you're kept in a state of virtual stupor, because a lot of these drugs will affect you intellectually, they'll affect your capacity to think clearly, and they will keep you enslaved to the system. But there are cures, folks. There are alternative methods for ailments that we face, and there are alternative methods of medicine that we can use. And I want to discuss some of those methods today. And to do so, I've invited a friend onto the show who has been curing a myriad of people around the planet, over 4,000 or 5,000 people, I believe, now. He's cured of terminal diseases, and he's done so with the medicinal application of hemp oil. And the man I'm talking about, of course, is a man called Rick Simpson, who comes from Canada. I've had Rick on the show before in 2010 to discuss his hemp cure, and we had a wonderful show then, and I recommend that you do go and find the show. You'll find it in the radio archives on thecrowhouse.com. It was recorded around about December 2010, I think. And I do recommend that you listen to that show. But Rick is back in Canada at the moment, and I've invited him onto the show today to talk about what he's been doing in the last 2 years since we spoke and about his new book, which has just been released. Welcome to the show, Rick. Nice to be speaking to you again. You've been out flitting around the world since I spoke to you at the end of 2010, but I believe you're back in Canada now. Can you tell us a little bit what it's like to be back in Canada now, how much it's changed since you were there?
If anything, Max, things got much worse here. The prime minister of this country has gone right off the deep end, and they're trying to bring in more strict laws. You know, like while the rest of the world is opening up to this medicine, Canada is going just the opposite. So I was very disappointed in, the way things have gone here. And on top of that, the food prices have tripled since I left. I couldn't believe, like, a loaf of bread now is like $3.50. It's crazy over here.
Yeah, so, look, it's happened pretty well everywhere. That I think the inflation has been outrageous. The prices in Australia here have just skyrocketed. It's absolutely outrageous. But like you say, a lot of people are opening up to this medicine now, aren't they? And you've had amazing success with hemp cures around the world, haven't you?
Oh, just total success. Every day we're getting, every week we get hundreds and hundreds of emails, like, I cured my dog in a week. you know, I read your information a year ago. I was dying with cancer. Now I'm cancer free. It's just wonderful, you know, what this medicine, you know, can do. But these governments, you know, they still think they can control it. You know, like they want the pharmaceutical companies to have control and all of this. And the problem is with these companies, I mean, we can't trust these people. We know that. And even if they did make the proper medicine, they would want a fortune for it. So in the end, you know, I mean, the poor people will just go out and they'll grow their own and produce their own medicine. So I don't think there's any way that they're ever going to control this now. But, you know, and the faster this comes, the better, because, I mean, this world is in horrible condition with Fukushima and everything that's happening. You know, we need this medicine desperately. And I think this time, I think this, maybe this year, we're going to get it, finally.
Well, I hope so. I've been trying to awaken people to the fact that the governments are actually in breach of trust. All of our governments are in breach of trust. The relationship that we have with government is out of fiduciary trust. And that's where our remedy lies. And if anybody's in a state of hardship, if anybody's in a state where they are not able to use medicine like this to cure themselves because of legislation that's been put there by the government, well, the government's in breach of trust. It's really that simple. That's the approach that people have to take to this, I believe.
Well, the behavior of these police forces, I know just after I got back, a friend of mine that I worked with at the hospital in Spring Hill, now he put in like 35 years at the hospital. He's 58 years old. He just retired a couple of years ago. He was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And as soon as I got home, that they told me what was going on with him. And I went down to see him, and I almost drove into the middle of a police raid. He had about 13 plants, I guess, and what he was doing was juicing them. And, you know, there's town cops involved in this, like police officers that he went to school with that have known him all his life. This man has never heard a flea. You know, he's got a good reputation. He was always a good worker. And the police go down there, you know, and here he can't swallow, you know, and he can't talk anymore because that's what the effect that the ALS is having on him. Now, what kind of heart does it take, you know, to go in there and see a man that you've known all your life and you're raiding him with 13 plants and he's juicing it? You know, and now he's got to go to court on the 20th of August. You know, this country, Canada, has gone insane. You know, there's no compassion, and it just makes me sick. But I'm so happy to see this medicine, you know, like opening up elsewhere, especially in the U.S. I mean, they're making a huge racket about this down there. From what I understand, every state in the union now wants to legalize. So I think the change is going to happen in just the next few months, and I think it'll come fast, but I'm a bit worried about when it does, you know, what the reaction of the people, you know, is going to be after they find out that they've been lied to all of these decades, you know, and all of their relatives and friends that have died, you know, they died for no reason. So I don't think the people are going to be in a very good mood, but I would certainly hope that by now that we, you know, we would have grown up enough that we can handle this thing rationally without bloodshed. You know, to me, it's simply, I mean, they always go on, well, we should tax marijuana and all of this nonsense. You know, I mean, I would never pay 1 cent tax to any government for this plant. I mean, it's ridiculous. Why should we pay? You know, these are the same people that prohibited this medicine, and now they want us to pay them tax? You know, I mean, the way I look at it, these rich people, these banking families and whatnot, I mean, there's a million or more of us to every one of them. So I say take the money back from the people that stole it, and that's the bankers, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers. We all know who they are. I'm not saying that we should put, you know, like, we're all at fault here because it's our own apathy that allowed this to happen. But I would say, you know, hold them to account. Make them admit their guilt. Don't put them in jail. Just make them admit their guilt and walk away. But take the power from them. Take the money. And I really believe, Max, that it's time for a world government, but not the type that the Illuminati had in mind. I mean, we need honest governments, no more political parties, you know, elect independent, you know, representatives everywhere. And then pick out, you know, the most honest among them to represent, you know, their country. And then if you had all of this funding that these rich people presently hold, well, like what I would say is keep the factories running the way they are, but use the money to convert them over into hemp-based industries, earth-friendly industries that won't do the planet any harm. And I think if we went about this in a rational way, I think we could solve most of the problems, you know, that are currently facing mankind.
Well, that's the thing, you know, hemp, if it was legal, it would instantly wipe out most of the most polluting industries on the planet. I mean, you wouldn't have a need for a coal industry or a timber industry or any of this sort of stuff. You can get it all from hemp, plastics industries, all of these things. And of course, big pharma. It completely destroys the medical industry. And hemp is a cure-all. It really is, isn't it? And you've been curing other things as well, not just cancer, haven't you?
Oh, God, yes. So far, Max, I mean, I've treated over 5,000 people myself with all different forms of diseases. And I haven't found a disease yet that this oil isn't beneficial for. I mean, it just works miracles. And I challenge the pharmaceutical industry. You know, I'd like to see anything that they have that works as well as this does for any condition. Show me something. You know, all they're giving us is poison and garbage and addictive trash. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, I mean, this oil, in the end, this oil will run the pharmaceutical industry out of business. Because from what I've seen with so many patients, you know, I've had many patients that come to me that were taking 24, 30 pills a day. And once they get on the oil, within a month, the only thing they're using is the oil. You know, a nice harmless substance that does work.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, the pharmaceutical industry, what it does is it, if you really look at its track record, you'll find that you get medication for one complaint, and the medication will cause a whole series of other complaints that they will then sell you medication for. So basically, when they cure something, well, they're not even curing it. They're just addressing the symptom. They're attempting to improve your quality of life without actually addressing the problem. So you've still got the problem, and you get sicker and sicker within you, and all these other side effects and side sicknesses happen from the medication that you're using. And it's just this vicious circle. So they're basically selling sickness to the world. And that seems to be the purpose of the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, you're absolutely correct, Max. I mean, I've had people, many people have come to me that told me, you know, the medications they were on caused them to become diabetics and things like that. And like you said, one pill just leads to another pill, which leads to more problems, you know. And I honestly believe, like, there's so many of these, you hear so much today about, like, diseases like Alzheimer's. And I think a lot of this Alzheimer's is simply caused from all these chemicals that the doctors are pumping, you know, into the older generation. And not much wonder their brains don't work right on that stuff.
Yeah, well, I say that aluminium contributes to Alzheimer's, and that's what they're finding in the chemtrails. But even if you don't believe in chemtrails, all the cans, everything that we buy, it's in aluminium. We are consuming trace amounts of aluminium all the time, and that highly contributes to Alzheimer's. So listen, what happened that allowed you to come back to Canada? Because you were sort of a little bit wary of going back to Canada for a while because there were charges pending against you. So what's the story with all that?
Well, they withdrew the charges back in May, but I was planning on coming back home anyway in, you know, this fall, but I wanted to get the book out first. So, well, now the book, we've got the book done. And then in early June, Tommy Chong come out on CNN and told the whole world that he's got prostate cancer and he's using the Rick Simpson oil to cure it. So, you know, that really kind of rattled things up. When I seen it on CNN, I thought, you know, they'll bury that one. But the next day, the mainstream media picked it up, and it was even in the papers in Europe. So this could have quite a big impact, you know, like it could speed up things a great deal, and that's what we need. You know, we got to get the medicine to the people, and if it takes a celebrity to do it, well, that's fine. But I find it kind of ironic that, you know, it's Tommy Chong, you know, Cheech and Chong in the movies they made. Now, you know, 30, 40 years later, he's got prostate cancer, and now he's going to tell the public, you know, what this medicine can do.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, you need high profile people like that. And of course, Tommy Chong. I mean, as soon as you think of Tommy Chong, you think of pot, you think of marijuana, because that's the whole forte of Cheech and Chong. That's great. So they've dropped the charges against you, eh?
Yeah, the charges were withdrawn, but, they said they're going to keep all the stuff that they took. You know, I had quite a collection of medical books on this subject. And, they took all of that. They got my pellet gun, which is perfectly legal. They got some seeds again, which is perfectly legal. They took many things from my home that weren't against the law. But the RCMP are not good at giving anything back, of course. So I don't really expect much from them. But I'm just here for a short time because I have to go to I got to go back to Europe on the 14th of August because I have to speak at the World Hemp Congress in Slovenia on the 25th. Well, it's a 5-day event, I guess, from the 25th to the 30th. But I was in Slovenia last year. And within a week, there's only three political parties there. And within a week, I had two out of the three political parties behind me. So this Hemp Congress could have quite an impact.
Well, that's good. That's good. Actually, I'm going to a retreat in Peru in a couple of weeks. I've been given a ticket to go to a retreat. And I was looking on their website, and they were talking about some of the health things that they recommend. And there down at the bottom of the page was Rick Simpson's hemp oil cure. Yeah, I thought you'd be quite pleased to see that. I thought when I get there, they might even know me. I interviewed you on the show. So it's a small world, isn't it?
It sure is, Max, but I think you're pretty well known, brother.
You get that. But so tell me about the book. And by the way, I'll put a link to the book for any listeners out there. I'll put a link to the book on the Crow House, so you'll just be able to go there and find it if you don't know Rick Simpson's site. What is your website too, Rick, if you could just tell the people?
The website is phoenixtears.ca. And if you just go to our website, it'll tell you where to get the book.
No worries, and I'll put a link to that on the Crow House as well. So what sort of topics are you covering in the book? You want to speak about it a little bit?
Sure, Max. Well, basically what I did, I know I sent you a copy to read quite a while ago, but that book has been rewritten 3 times since then. You know, this is worse than having a baby. But, but I've got a book that I think is good and solid, and the first 2 or 3 chapters just goes over my early life a bit, and then it gets right into the medicine and the court system and everything I went through. I named all the names. You know, there's no sense telling people about something if you're not going to tell them who did it. So I didn't write it really to be vindictive, because there's millions of people, like in law enforcement, in the legal system, medical system, political systems worldwide. They're all acting the same. So, I mean, it's time for them all to wise up. And, you know, I've said it right along. The people are the power in any country. So all we have to do is stand up and tell them we've had enough of this nonsense. We need this medicine desperately, and we need this plant desperately, just so we can save this planet, detoxify the planet, feed the people. Like you said, like so many different things, like over 50,000 different things can be made from hemp. Practically everything around us could be made from hemp, and it would even our homes. And if we had homes made from hemp, brother, they would last a very, very long time. So I think there's nowhere else for us to turn, Max, and especially with this fuel thing, you know. We've got to shut down these nuclear power plants, and we've got to stop them, you know, drilling for all these fossil fuels. We're just wrecking the planet, and if we don't wise up, I think in just a few decades we'll go extinct. But if we use the plant, the hemp plant, properly, plant it everywhere, just like Jack Herrod always said, use it the way it should be used. It's a wonderful source of energy, and food, medicine, it's all right there in front of us. All we have to do is use it. And at this stage of the game, brother, I don't think we have a choice anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Everything that our societies make, they design it to break down, because the human experience has been reduced to commerce. And everything that we do is designed to support an economic model which demands permanent growth. And, of course, if you're going to have permanent growth and you're going to be making things to break all the time in order to support permanent growth, all you're going to end up is the destruction of the planet. That's the only logical conclusion to a system like that. So we really do need to take the matter in hand, and it's got to be done by the people. And this is where it comes back to trust. This is what I keep telling people. It's all about fiduciary trust. It's all about understanding that legislation is not law. It's simply what politicians write on pieces of paper. And most legislation is designed to remove law from the planet and replace it with the will of politicians. That's what it's all about. The power lies with the people, but people have to understand that it's actually a trust agreement. Actually, the Prime Minister of Australia, about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, made a statement to the coal companies, and she said, "You don't own the resources. The government is holding the resources and the country in trust for the sovereign people of the nation." So she let the cat out of the bag with that. And this is the way it is in every nation. And that's what people have to understand their government is. It's a fiduciary trust agreement that exists between you and these people. If they're claiming you've breached their legislation, that's fine. We can deal with that later. But let's first deal with what's going on with this trust agreement, which is the basis of our entire relationship, because I would suggest that you governments are in breach of trust simply because there's people in this country in a state of hardship, because you're preventing us from using medicines that can cure our lives, because you've written these rules on pieces of paper. What makes you think you have the right to do that? Because this is not what we employ you to do. And that's the thing. We employ the governments. The people have forgotten that, because they've had it educated out of them. That knowledge has been educated away from them. They've been led down the garden path and told that these people are their rulers. And we really do need a mass movement of people. We need people to really step back and see what's going on here and reclaim the power that's been taken from them. I really truly believe that that is the solution to the whole thing.
Well, you're absolutely correct. That's what it's all about, is just awakening and educating yourself. And I think the best way to do that is to shut off your television and then start watching documentaries like the one you just put out, Transformation. You know, these are where you're going to get the real truth. And if you want a good education, the documentaries will give it to you, but you'll never find it on television. All you'll find on television is soap operas and lies.
Yeah, well, that's for sure, mate. I haven't owned a television for a very long time. I don't even want to have one in the house. I don't even like walking into a house where there's one on. Terrible things, mate, terrible things. So what are your plans for the future? What do you got on the burner at the moment?
Well, it's like I said, I'm going to be here in Canada until the 14th of August. And then once I get done in Slovenia, I think I'll go to Croatia. I have some friends there. I'll go there for a couple of weeks. And I believe I'll be traveling on then to South America. And possibly I might even go out on the islands out in the Pacific. Because I really think, Max, in the near future, unless something good happens here, I think these continents are going to tear themselves apart. The money bubble's going to burst. The food's going to be so expensive, nobody can buy it. And it's not quite so bad in Europe. They're more self-sufficient there than they are here in Canada. But, you know, like in Canada, when the grocery store closes, the only thing to do is start eating each other because they don't even know how to plant gardens here anymore.
Yeah, that's a huge thing that's happened to the whole of our society is we've had a lot of our life skills taken from us. I mean, when I was a kid, the whole neighborhood had gardens. We had a huge garden outside my back door here. It's about 120 feet by 60 feet. Huge, huge big garden. We've got 3,000 plants growing in there. So that's what people need to do. You've really got to become self-sufficient. It's incredibly important because the countries are going to eat themselves if we don't take the matter in hand. And it's the same in all Western countries. See, so many people are nationalistic in the way they think about things. It's like a lot of American people I speak to are very Americentric when they talk about the global problems. It's all about America, but really it's global. The whole thing is global. And until you can get out of your nationalistic view of the world, then we're never going to change anything. We've got to start looking at this as one global family, and we've got to realize that we're all in this together. And what we're facing is really the future of the human race. We have to take the matter in hand because the governments are simply not going to do it.
I couldn't agree more, Max. And I've been saying now for years that, you know, literally, I believe in a world without borders. You know, if I want to go live in Siberia, that's my business. You know, we're humans. We should be able to go anywhere we want. You know, all of these invisible lines and border crossings. And it's just a way, you know, like, literally what we've done, we built our own cages that we live in. You know, and it's always the same thing. You know, well, the country next to you, well, they're dangerous. They don't live the same. They don't think the same. You know, if there was no borders, we would intermingle. And then we would learn to understand each other. But as long as we have all these divisions, all we're ever going to have is one war after another.
Yeah, well, that's the way. It really is. So what's your plans for awakening people? How do you think we can get this information to people? I mean, have you been having a lot of success with any publicity? Or I mean, I know you lead by example in all that you do, and I think that's a really important thing that people need to do. Has your responses been like universally positive that you're getting from people? Do you have too many people attack you about what you do or anything like that? Or has it been pretty well positive from everybody that you've come in contact with?
It's basically all positive, Max. I mean, I've had a few arguments on Facebook with some people that want to make the medicine different ways, but my methods have been tested. The oils have been tested. They always come out in around the 97-98% pure cannabinoid range. And most other people's oils don't come anywhere near that. And I've said right along, you know, if you have something like serious like cancer, then you need the best. But there's so many people out there right now there's an awful lot of people making low-grade oils. They're all calling it the Rick Simpson oil, which it isn't. And a lot of these people, a few years ago, before they knew about the oil, they were drug dealers. So they just switched over now, and now they make this, you know, oil. Well, a lot of the time, to make the good oil, you've got to make it from the bud. And drug dealers like to sell the bud, but they'll make oil from the clippings. And the clippings, all I ever used oil that made from clippings for was for skin conditions. You know, it's okay for that. But like I said, if you have like Lou Gehrig's disease or AIDS or cancer or something like that, you need the best oil. There's no shortcut to this.
Yeah, I've actually had a friend here in Australia. She's a radio announcer who I think I put in contact with you, actually. She's been treating her 76-year-old mother with your oil.
Yes.
And it had fantastic results and
wonderful.
Totally improved the quality of her life. Unfortunately, she died last week of a heart attack, something completely unrelated. But something that my friend was very, very grateful for was how much improved her quality of life was. She died happy. She died at home. She died content. She died aware of herself because she was wasting away. She wasn't even aware of herself anymore. And after a month on your treatment, she'd had incredible results and made incredible recoveries. But then, yes, as I said, unfortunately died of a heart attack the week before, something completely unrelated. But that was a fabulous response for her, and my friend was very, very grateful for the improvement in the quality of life in the last days of her mother's life.
Well, you're never sure with this medicine, you know. Like, I mean, I've seen it take so many people right off their deathbeds, you know, and keep them alive, period. But, you know, in some cases, people that are badly damaged with chemo and radiation, you know, the only thing you can do with people like that is get, well, I always say 60-gram treatment is the standard cancer treatment. But, you know, if you've been damaged with chemo and radiation, you should look at taking 120 to 180 grams of oil as quickly as possible, because you have to undo all of that damage. And again, I have to tell people, you know, for God's sake, stay away from the medical system. Their CAT scans cause cancer. I mean, stay away from the doctors. Now, if you want to be healed, take the oil, change your diet, a few things like that. But the medical system's not going to help you.
Yeah, and diet's very important as well, isn't it?
Oh, it's tremendously important. And, you know, and getting your pH in your body, like just by simply drinking things like lemonade or watermelon, you know, it brings the pH of your body up. And diseases like cancer, once your body becomes alkaline, the cancer can't survive. So these are just simple things, you know, like eating apple seeds. I eat the seeds from two apples every day because that's a good dose of B17. Laetril. And Laetril in its own right has a good track record with cancer. Blue-green algae. There's many things, you know, and vitamin C is another good one. But, you know, as long as you're using natural things, then that's the best way to heal yourself. But when you start throwing the chemicals and poisons in there, you know, all it does is cause harm. And I've seen it. My God, I had a guy come to me here a few years ago. First question I always ask people, you know, are you done with the medical system? And he said he was, but he had cancer. So he got the treatment from me. 3 months later, he called me up and he said he was cancer free. But when he came back to the house, he came up to see me, and when he got out of his car, he couldn't walk. And I looked at him and I said, you know, Ken, what's the matter? And he said, well, Rick, he said, I have a medical plan. And he said, I had to take the chemo or they would take it away from me. So he said, I took the chemo with the oil. And he said, this is what caused all this nerve damage in my legs. And he said, I can hardly walk. And he looked at me and he said, what do I do? I said, well, what you do now, I said, you sit down and take another 60-gram treatment of oil. It's the only way you got to undo the damage. But I just can't understand how the medical system can hold their head up. And when I look at the treatments they give people, you know, carcinogenic, cancer-causing treatments to treat cancer, I mean, who's insane here?
Yeah, well, it's all breach of trust, Rick. I see it all as breach of trust. We're going to have a break now. It's break time. So we're here with Rick Simpson, folks, and we'll just go for a quick break, and we'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Rick Simpson, and we're discussing cancer cures. Rick, if someone was to go to your website, if someone had cancer and they're looking for a cure and they hear about your treatment, can they actually go to your website and find like a plan, like an actual documented way of going through this, a step-by-step process?
Oh, yes. All the information's up there. We have all the dosage information, and we have all the information on how to produce the medicine properly. And again, what I tell people, like, once you do this, it's really no harder than making a cup of coffee. Anybody can do it. You know, I mean, if you've got a rice cooker, a couple gallons of solvent, and a pound of good indica bud, the indica, the sedative type, the type of hemp that makes you sleepy when you smoke it. That's what I use to make the medicine. If you got that, usually if I have a dry pound of hemp bud, within 3 hours, the medicine's sitting there ready to use. So, you know, at the present time, there's no quality control. There's no standards in place yet. So I still suggest that it's best that if people, you know, would go out and make their own, because then they know what they have. There's too many ripoff artists out there, and it's hard to believe that people could be so heartless, you know, to look at somebody dying and sell them low-quality oil. But there's a lot of people that will do it.
Yeah, well, it's definitely like that. It's becoming difficult to get the solvents too, I believe. It's becoming quite difficult here. People were able to buy isopropyl alcohol to use for a while, but they're making it harder and harder to get these solvents. What are good solvents that people can use if they're having hard times getting them?
Well, I mean, the solvents I always use, like most of the time, I've used 99% isopropyl alcohol, which works quite well. But alcohol is not as selective as, say, substances like ether or naphtha. Well, naphtha, in Europe, they call naphtha benzene. But what I was using, I used to buy 45-gallon drums of light naphtha right from the refinery. And I found it was a great solvent. It was only about $12 a gallon, where alcohol was closer to 40. But there's other there's another one out there like acetone. I've never used acetone myself, but from what I've read about it, that should work very well too. So there's any number of solvents that can be used. My personal favorite really is ether. Ether does a wonderful job. I tell people not to go the butane route because, like, butane is very volatile, and you need special equipment to reclaim it or anything like that. The trouble is with butane, your oil is not decarboxylated. There's no heating process, and you need a heating process to rotate the molecules in the oil to the delta 9 position, which is the active position. So without that heat process, these butane oils are not nearly as effective as the oils that I produce.
Okay, ether, of course, would be very difficult for a lot of people to get hold of, though. I mean, you'd probably need some sort of medical license in Australia to get hold of something like ether.
I would expect, yeah. But like acetone naphtha, well, naphtha is the same as Coleman fuel. If you can find, like, Coleman fuel without the additives, that's naphtha, because that's what they use.
Okay, so that'd probably be a bit easier for people.
Well, I know that, like, Coleman fuel itself, they say right on it, it has rust inhibitors added. But there's other types of Coleman fuel you can buy that have no rust inhibitors. So those are just pure naphtha, and that would work just fine.
Okay, so while you're in Canada, what are your plans while you're there?
Well, you know, I just came back mostly to see my mother. I haven't seen her since 2009, and, to kind of catch up with everyone. But I don't see anything good happening in Canada, so, I'm not planning. Well, there's no sense doing any interviews with newspapers because they never tell the truth anyway, so there's no point to it. So I think I'll just mark time, and when I get out of here, then when I get back to Europe, I'll start making a big noise again. But my dream is really to go either find a country or find an island and get the most medicinal strains in the world and then start working with them and do some crosses and then stabilize these, really medicinal strains, stabilize the seeds. Because the main problem right now is, like, when you send for seeds, you don't know what you're going to get. Mm. I sent for 14 different strains one time. And when you order, like, the strains, then you also, they have another list there that says alternate. Well, I ordered 14 strains, and then I ordered 14 alternates in case they didn't have the strain I wanted. Now, out of those 28, I got one strain, and it was an alternate. They sent me Holland's Hope. Now, so you never know what you're going to get. Some companies are better than others, but I think what we need to do is stabilize these strains and then determine, through a simple process of elimination, which ones are the best for what conditions or what mix of oils are the best. And then we can set the standards for this. And we can do this quite quickly, I would say, in a very, very short time. And we can be healing the people while we're doing it because this is harmless. It's not going to hurt anyone. Like one oil might not be quite as effective as another for, say, diabetes. But it won't take too long to figure out which ones work the best. I'm no scientist, but I do have a lot of logic.
I say you've cured diabetes with hemp oil as well, have you?
Oh, yes. Yes. I've had reports from people with both type 1 and type 2 that said they were cured. But then other ones, some of the ones that were born with diabetes, they said that at the very least, they were able to lower their insulin intake a great deal. And plus, the oil helped with the circulation. Because diabetics, they get an infection in their foot or their extremities. Before they know it, they got gangrene and off comes the foot. Well, the oil, it helps with your blood circulation. So no matter what, if you got diabetes, get on this oil. It's the best thing you can do for your body.
Okay, see, it all comes down to public awareness, doesn't it? That's the only way we're really going to get this out to people, isn't it? By getting this information to the public, and it's very difficult to break that paradigm in people. They're so programmed by their television, and so programmed by the government and the authorities that tell them all of this stuff is evil, and they vilify everything. So that's the difficult part, isn't it? Is actually shifting public opinion. And of course, the only way you can really do that is to lead by example. Have you been doing any talks or anything? You plan on doing any talks while you're in Canada?
No, I'm not planning on it. I've made it known, like, the only thing I would do would be like an open line talk show or something like that, because that's the only way I get my message to the people. But I don't want nothing to do with the papers or anything like that. But I'm really trying to get wound up good for this, because this World Hemp Congress, because I've got to come off very powerful there, and I think I can do it. And there's going to be people, I guess, from all over Europe. Many different countries are coming, like people that know a lot about this subject. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be good.
Well, I think you're kind of leading the way with the medicinal hemp movement at the moment, Rick. I really do. I think that the success you've had with the oil speaks for itself. It really does. And like I said, even the success I've seen with people here in Australia And even with my friend's mother, unfortunately, who died of a heart attack, I mean, the improvement in her life was amazing. And it was nothing to do with the oil that gave her the heart attack. It was probably because of all the treatments that she'd had from the pharmaceutical industry to treat her cancer. And her quality of life was, I mean, she was a walking shell before she got on the oil. And then suddenly she had her appetite back. She was sleeping properly. She was chirpy. She was making conversation. And she was doing really, really well. So I really do think you're leading the way in this. So good luck with the conference. When is the conference taking place?
It starts on the 25th of August, and as far as I know, it goes to the 30th, so I believe it's going to be a five-day event. So I really think that there could be something happening there.
Whereabouts is it being held?
All I know right now is just that it's in Slovenia. I expect it would be in the capital, can't think of the name of the cat. Ilabamba.
That's all right.
Sorry, Max. I've been in too many places, brother.
Yeah, that's all right. Capital of Slovenia. It's probably shaped like an alphabet anyway, so that's all good.
But, you know, I think I will probably go after that to South America because I've heard about Uruguay. They're supposed to be legalizing. And I'll have a look around and see what's happening. But if I don't see anything, then I'm really thinking about right out on the islands, maybe French Polynesia. Because the man in charge over there now, he wants to break away from France because they did all those nuclear tests in the 1960s. You know, they've got a lot of problems over there from those tests. And I seen a documentary. He went right to France to meet with the president of France, and they wouldn't talk to him. So I don't think he's in too good a mood. So maybe if I show up and tell him who I am and what I want to do, well, way out there in the Pacific, I would say they might open the door for it.
Yeah, well, you never know. Maybe they will. I wonder if hemp will do anything for radiation sickness.
Oh, definitely.
We're going to need that soon with Fukushima, mate. With what's
going on. We need it. Yeah. We need it now. We need it now, Max. Last year when I seen Fukushima, when I seen that happen, the first thing I said was bury it. You know, because I mean, I studied atomic energy back in the late 70s. I was going to go to work in a nuclear power plant. I got halfway through the book and I thought, you know, these people are lunatics. You know, this stuff isn't safe. So I just gave up on it. But when I seen Fukushima, I couldn't believe that, you know, that they didn't try to cover it up. I mean, it's still sitting over there spewing. You know,
oh, yeah, no, it's still going 24 hours a day. It's pouring toxins into the ocean, pouring toxins into the air. But it's very difficult because it's right there on the coast. It's 50 meters from the waterline. So you've got a water table beneath it. I mean, almost one of the only things they would be able to do would be nuke it and hope that it sinks down below the crust or something. I mean,
With the bomber force the United States of America has, why didn't they just fill those bombers full of sandbags and build a sandbag mountain over it?
Well, yeah, that'd help. Anything would help for now. I mean, the fact that they haven't done anything about it at all is incredibly telling. And even the fact that it's there, I mean, it was like a disaster waiting to happen. It's almost like it was planned. I mean, you don't put nuclear reactors right there on the edge of the ocean, on the most seismically active area on Earth, if you're not expecting a disaster or trying to create a disaster. And well, the fact that they haven't done anything about it, they just left it completely uncontained. And it's been going for over a year. It's quite shocking.
Well, I mean, geologists must think these people are totally crazy. I mean, any geologist would know better than to build a nuclear power plant in these places. So, I mean, it's like you say, it almost looks like it was an evil plan right from the get-go.
Well, yeah, even putting reactors there in Japan, it's the most seismically active area on Earth, and to put them that close to the waterline, it was not like it was an accident that may happen. It was like it was an accident that was planned. It really seemed that way. And the fact that it's still uncontained, well, they obviously want this amount of radiation. Personally, I think it all ties in with the transhumanist agenda and some of the stuff I talked about in the new film.
Right.
I think if you look at things from a transhuman perspective and see what they want to do in the genetic manipulation that they're carrying out of all life on this planet, it seems to tie in quite nicely with that. So I personally think that the whole thing was deliberate.
Well, the oil is the only thing that I know that can take those toxins, you know, out of your body. And I've seen many people, like, you know, that were treated with radiation in hospitals. When you see the chest of somebody that's had radiation, I mean, it just looks like red leather. It's burnt so badly. But, you know, 3 months later, after they take the treatment, they open their shirts, you'd never know they had radiation. Because the oil constantly is detoxifying you. You know, it takes you back to a healthy weight, but it also takes all of these horrible toxins out of our bodies. So, you know, if you breathe one of these little particles in, or if it's on a vegetable or something that you eat, Well, instantly you've got cancer. Well, at least with the oil, you got a chance to fight it and, you know, to get it out of your body. You know, there's so many reasons now, Max, that this oil is so badly needed. And I don't know what, you know, we're doing our best to wake these people up. But I hope we can do it in time.
It really is fantastic, isn't it? It's our most amazing planet. It cures virtually anything. You know, hemp seed as well is one of the only whole foods on the planet. I think probably the only whole food on the planet, the only thing that you can actually live on completely by itself without anything else, hemp seed. Quite amazing. It's absolutely incredible that, you know, all of the most toxic industries on this planet could be replaced by hemp. All of our medicine industry could be replaced by hemp. Our diet could be improved by hemp. There are literally so many benefits to this plant, and when you look at the history of the plant, it hasn't caused one death in 5,000 years of recorded use. And so you've got to ask yourself why it's banned, why it's illegal. And when you look at everything that I just said, all of the industries that it would completely destroy if it was legal, there it is. That's the reason that it's illegal. It's not been made illegal to protect anybody except big industry. So people really, really do need to adjust their perspective about the benefits of this plant. It is the most beneficial plant we've ever had. And the fact that it's illegal, it's a complete joke. And again, we come back to breach of trust. I think that hemp is a perfect example of how much our governments are in breach of trust.
Oh, exactly, Max. And, well, you look at countries like Brazil, like over 50% of their automobiles are running on ethanol produced from sugarcane. Now, I've seen the process myself. I watched a documentary on the process, and they said that using this new process with enzymes and things they have, they can get as much as 1,800 gallons of ethanol off of 1 acre of hemp. Now, 1 acre is only 208 feet by 208 feet. Now, that's not very big. And you can make up to 1,800 gallons of ethanol. I mean, that's enough energy to heat your home, run your car, and you still have a few hundred gallons left over. But they don't want us to be self-sufficient, but we could so easily become. You know, if every small town put a little production facility in and I started farming the hemp, everyone could grow their own energy. You know, we don't need to be at the mercy of these people, but this is what they're so afraid of. You know, they don't want a public that's self-reliant.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't want critical thinking, and they don't want self-sufficiency. And this is what globalism is all about as well. Like, they're working very hard to make sure that countries are interdependent upon each other so no country can be self-sufficient. You know, that's what they're doing. I mean, it's globalism by stealth that they're bringing in, and globalism by distraction. Everyone's distracted arguing about things and pointing the finger at everybody. No one's really looking at what's going on around them. And gradually, things are becoming more and more interdependent. Nations are becoming more and more interdependent. And they say, oh, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it brings us together as a global family. But what it does is it reduces everything to commerce, and it makes no country able to achieve self-sufficiency. And that's what they're working towards.
Well, they're doing a good job of it. I mean, you look at the EU. The EU is basically falling apart. You know, half the countries in the EU are on the verge of bankruptcy, or they've already gone bankrupt. You know, the whole thing is going to collapse. And when it does, I'm afraid that it's going to turn very ugly. But, you know, if we go about this rationally and, you know, if the people get behind us and do the right thing here, you know, because, you know, if we just look at our own history, it's enough to make anybody sick. We've never done anything right, you know, and I think it's just about time that we did.
Well, it's true. It is true, and it's unfortunate, but it is true. I think there has been periods when we've tried to do the right thing, but, of course, governments have always gotten in the way, as they do. That is their purpose. I often say to people, the purpose of government is to steal everything from the people. That's all they do. That's their sole purpose. The governments work for the banks, and the whole concept is to transfer all wealth into the hands of those who issue the currency. And all you have to do is step back and look at the world, and you can see this is happening on a global scale, and it's very, very obvious that this is what's happening.
Well, to people like you and I mean, we see the illusion very clearly. I mean, anybody that opens their mind and switches off that television and starts thinking about what's going on around them, you can't avoid it. But it's just like so many people, I'd say at least 50% of the people, they just can't go there. Even when you're right, you know, talking to them, you can see that their minds just can't accept this because they have to realize that everything they've been told, it's a lie.
Mm. Well, that's a very, very difficult thing for people. That's the big problem, is that you're coming up to someone and you're saying, listen, everything you thought was true about the world is wrong. Everything that you've done in your life up to this point has been completely meaningless and pointless. And a lot of people have a lot of difficulty dealing with that. You know, they've worked so hard and they're so in debt. I mean, my sister, I've got a beautiful sister. She's older than me. She always told me I was a nut, that I'm a rebel without a cause. I'm this and I'm that. And she worked her whole life. She worked very, very hard for all of her life. And she got to a stage where she was 55 and she had nothing, you know. And I've enjoyed my life. I've played music and I've done what I do. I've just been myself for my whole life. And I've got the same as what she's got. And she's just looked at herself and went, holy hell, my brother was right. The whole time he was right. And now she's a champion for this, and she's out there telling the truth to people and spreading information to people, traveling around Australia on her own license plates. She's got no driver's license. She's got no registration. She's just out there with her own plates, driving around, standing as a sovereign person. She, wonderful, wonderful, the job that she's doing and the example she's setting for others. And it's very difficult for people to realize that their whole life has been based on a lie. It's been based on a false perception of what reality is, and that they're trained to have this perception of reality. They're trained through the scholastic system, which is merely an indoctrination system. It's not, doesn't really teach you anything except how to function in a commercial world. And people are beginning to wake up to it, but it is very challenging for a lot of people when you bring them this information. So that's what I think is so important about the hemp medicine as well, because you're challenging their worldview, but you say, well, hey, look, here it is. Try this and have a look at the difference it makes in your life. And then you're going to see that you've been lied to your whole life. And perhaps once you have stepped out of that paradigm, you'll want to go and help people around you, and you'll want to help other people wake up to reality. And that's what's so beautiful about this, this hemp treatment, because it's right there. It's something in your hand that you can use and you can see a beneficial result from straight away. So that's what's so beautiful about it. And anybody out there listening to this, folks, if you're sick with anything, I highly recommend that you go to phoenixtears.ca, look at Rick Simpson's hemp cures, and implement these into your own life. If there's legislation in your area that tells you you can't use this stuff, screw the legislation. Just use it anyway. Legislation is not law. Legislation is rules written on pieces of paper by politicians. That's all it is. It is not law. And when you understand that your relationship with politicians is a trust agreement, you can realize how to circumvent this, and you can realize how to step back from their system and stand in the power of your flesh and meet these people head on. Take the bull by the horns. That's my recommendation to everybody. So get out there and have a look at this treatment, folks.
Well, that's about the best advice you can give anybody, Max.
Yeah, absolutely. So when do you think you're going to be leaving Canada? When are you going to be heading out? You're going over to the Slovenia for the hemp conference. Are you staying out of Canada from there? You're just going out from there? You're not planning on coming back?
I really don't have any plans of living in Canada again, I don't think, Max. What went on here and what I witnessed, it left a very bad taste in my mouth. And, I mean, I love my country. Canada is a beautiful country, but it's being run by a pack of criminals. And, you know, the whole thing I just found so disheartening, you know, because I was the proverbial proud Canadian until I found all of this out, you know, and my father fought in Normandy for Canada. And then I turn around and find out that my own country is just as bad, or if not worse, than Nazi Germany ever even thought of being. As a matter of fact, I put it in the book, they always go on the United States today, you know, well, we did a preemptive strike. So I put in the book, I guess that Hitler wasn't a war criminal either, because that's all he did. He did preemptive strikes too, didn't he?
Exactly.
So, these people are warmongers. And, United States, to watch that country turn the way it did in my lifetime, I would have never believed it. You know, that is the biggest terrorist state in the world. And we, you know, the rest of the world has to unite and put a stop to them.
Well, absolutely. The thing is that, really, when you look at what happened in Nazi Germany and what happened in World War II, you find that, the Nazis didn't actually lose the war. Germany did. The Nazis were smuggled out into the West, and most of them went to the United States and into South America. And really, when you look at it, you find that the whole Nazi war effort was financed by Americans and by Britons. It was all the same people. It was all theater. The whole lot was theater. And as far as I'm concerned, if you really look at the state of the world, you see that World War II didn't really end. They just thought that it did. People just were convinced that it did. But really, it's been going on ever since then by stealth. They've done exactly what they did to Nazi Germany, to all Western countries. They've just done it in gradual increments. And we're heading to a stage soon where, you know, the prison door's swinging shut if people don't wake up to reality and stand up and reclaim their rights and stand in the power of who and what they are. And we're going to be heading for a very bad state. But there are enough people out there speaking out about it now, I think, that will wake people up. And the more it gets in your face, the more people will wake up. Unfortunately, that's just the process we have to go through. It may have to get worse yet, because there are still a great many people asleep. But the beauty of what you're doing is that you're providing an open door. You're providing the exit door for them. So that it, when they do wake up and they think, oh, my God, where do I go? What do I do? Well, they've got things like Your Cure, and they've got other people that are showing them the way. And the trick is to lead by example and to get rid of the fear. Don't be in fear of your government. The government should be in fear of the people, not the other way around. But you need this strong community to do it. And that's I believe, where the hemp can come in, where the hemp oil can come in. Because once you've helped people in your community with these cures, they're going to start treating you with respect, and they're going to wake up to the lies that they're being fed.
Well, I hope so, Max. You know, I think one of the main things they're afraid of, the governments are so afraid of with the use of this oil, it actually, for a lot of people, it kicks in the right side of their brain, because predominantly we think with the left sides of our brain. But when you get this oil into you, you start becoming a much more rational and questioning person. And that's exactly what they don't want. Mm. So they're well aware of it. So I think that's a good part of the reason that they're afraid of this oil.
Okay, well, look, we're about 1 minute or 2 minutes left, Rick. What sort of things would you like to say to wrap up? What would be your message to people in a nutshell, if you will?
Well, Max, it's like I said, the history of mankind is pretty grim, and I just hope that we can do something right for a change. I mean, we can't make a new beginning if we start off making the same mistakes. So, to me, what I urge the public to do is stand together, demand your right for the use of this medicine, and start looking at this world in a rational way. And let honest people, you know, elect honest people. Stop voting for parties. And I think these governments should be all replaced with think tanks, you know, like two of the best in farming, two of the best in medicine, two of the best in fishery. Put them together and let them make the decisions that run all the different countries. But everything has to be done with an open book policy to the public. Nothing hidden any longer. The corruption has to go. And this is the only way we can get rid of it. So as a human race, I think we can do that. It's just a matter of uniting, you know, getting together and uniting, and we can make it happen.
Yeah, good call. Absolutely good call. Pleasure to have you on the show, Rick. Lovely to talk to you again. Do stay in touch. And okay. I'll check in with you again in maybe another year or so. I'll try to catch up with you before then, but I'll try to have you on the show probably maybe a year. We'll try to get you on at least once a year, and we can keep going on with the saga and see what you're up to. Love your work, brother, and thank you for doing what you do.
Well, I hope we can get together, Max. I'd love to make a documentary with you. So.
Well, you have to get down to Australia, mate. Come down and say hi. Well, I'll be in South America next month, so if you're out and about, maybe come and say hi there. We'll catch up. We'll definitely catch up at some stage.
Okay, brother. Sounds good, and it was a pleasure, Max.
Absolutely, Rick. Lovely to talk to you.
Okay, Max. Have a good day, brother.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Rick Simpson, ladies and gentlemen. I do highly recommend that you visit his website, phoenixtears.ca, and investigate the hemp cures that he is presenting to the world, because these cures do work. They are very beneficial, folks. And I really can't promote his work enough. I think he's doing a wonderful job. And we really do need as many people as possible to become aware of the information that he's presenting to people. Because once we do have this public awareness, folks, we really do have an opportunity to implement some positive change. So that is about it for me for the show, folks. We're pretty well out of time. Thank you to anybody who has ever offered any support to thecrowhouse.com. It's very, very needed at the moment. The cupboard is extremely bare. If anybody can ever offer any support to the website, it is greatly needed and greatly appreciated. And it is truly the only thing that keeps the website going. But as I said, folks, that is it for me. I'm completely out of time. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Keshe.